that my timing's off, but I can't move on if we're still gonna talk. Is it wrong for me to not want half? I want all of you, all the strings attached. Oh, I'm good at keeping my distance. I know that you're the feeling I'm missing. You know that I hate to admit it, but everything means nothing if I can't have you.
Chapter 5. In the dead of night, an encounter. Despite keeping a conspicuously low profile after forcing himself out of his chair and back onto the streets, it was a grand total of 2 sunsets before Shota ran into his prestigious personal problem again. Long story short, there was a back alley brawl between 2 minor gangs, and he shouldn't have engaged. It wasn't the kind of thing pros involve themselves in, generally, and drunken close quarters chaos certainly wasn't Shota's forte. While he had only been slumming down the street for cigarettes after his scheduled twilight patrol, Shota apparently picked the wrong way home and found himself with a bloody nose, glass in his boots, and no cigarettes. He reacted by angrily, selfishly kicking ass, as truly professional heroes do. It was hand-to-hand buffoonery all the way down the alley, every other combatant sloppily wielding a knife or a broken liquor bottle, or shoving each other into the dumpsters that lined the claustrophobic midtown alleyway that was home to the seediest of clubs. Nearby heroes, apparently as dumb and pent up as him, were quick in joining the fray. Shota was busy dodging a poor excuse for a stab and securing the responsible asshole's arms behind his back with a zip tie, when a whistling noise rose above the shouting and breaking glass. Bracing to run, he looked up, well-trained to anticipate poorly planned aerial attacks from villains and heroes alike. The noise only swelled louder, until something hit him with incredible force, tearing the villain from his grip and nearly tossing him against the nearest building. Shota twisted and grabbed for the nearest solid object, and ended up sprawled on the wet alley floor, every bit of himself splayed for maximum traction. Ears popping viciously, he was vaguely aware of dark bodies nearby, struggling in the relentless tearing pressure, which was... wind? Shota scrabbled for any kind of hold, unable to open his eyes for the stinging, then opened them just in time to roll out of the way of a recycling bin barreling at him at 45 miles an hour. It crashed down the alleyway, spilling bottles and cans, and calamitously rolled to a stop. The only sound as the rush of wind suddenly died. Everyone in the alley, hero and villain alike, was on their asses in various stages of clinging to things or throwing up from any combination of the sudden pressure change, booze, and poor life decisions. The only one who wasn't on his ass was the gigantic man easily striding down the path of his own wind tunnel, laugh loud and long like he'd stumbled upon a surprise party instead of a nasty brawl, thick red cape rustling in the last of whatever smash he'd chosen for that particular occasion. All Might came to rest under a stuttering security lamp, with his fists on his hips and one perfect leg jauntily cocked. He looked to the left, to the right. The alley was deadly silent but for the distant tinkling of glass shards and buzzing neon. "Don't you all have some place to be?" was all he said, and everyone a hair's left of chaotic good fucking scattered. The gangs, previously on stabbing terms, scrambled and slipped and hauled each other to their feet to get out of the way and into the night. The idiot laughed again, and the assembled heroes cheered and even jeered the gangs out of the alley, some tossing whatever intact beer bottles were nearby to hurry them on their way. One particular hero neither cheered nor jeered, and he certainly didn't relax. Instead, Shota froze, welded himself to the nearest brick wall, and immediately checked for the cover necessary to sneak away as fast as fucking possible. Because this was not happening. Not here. Not with this audience. The alley was a mess, and a group effort mess at that. Whatever windows weren't smashed by the gangs were probably blown out by the wind pressure of everyone's favorite hero, And now, the original culprits were gone, scot-free. They wouldn't have been able to book all of them anyway. This was a public disruption case for the police, not heroes. But that didn't stop Shota from being pissed at the way All Might did it. Or maybe just his face and his stupid hair. And his bulging pectorals and his flawless ass and etc., etc. As the more frisky among his fellows scrambled to their feet to shake the wonderful All Might's hand, Shota vibrated in place, painfully still, until he was sure the big hero's vision was blocked. Then rose and slipped away down the alley, heel-toeing it all the way. Until, consumed in checking behind him, the young pro hero's foot caught on the same recycling bin that had nearly taken his life the moment before. The lightweight plastic flipped, and whatever bottles hadn't escaped before crashed onto the concrete in an ear-splitting cacophony. Everyone looked. All Might looked. Even Shota looked. Then squeezed his eyes shut, fucking pissed. Then he gracelessly loped over the graveyard of unlucky bottles and very, very quickly walked away, down the alley and away from All Might, with only the dimmest of hopes it would work. Could that be? Excuse me, friend. What's the hurry now? At that point, Shota had no pride or shame to spare. He gladly dropped it all on the alley floor as he sped up to a hectic jog, praying he hadn't heard what he thought he'd heard. Behind him, All Might was definitely still glad-handing and thanking the heroes for their duty. A joke. And excusing himself for a personal business matter. But Shota was very determined not to be his personal business tonight. No, sir. Especially when he thought he'd heard something that sounded like his hero handle, which All Might should absolutely not have. Hold on, Eraserhead, is that you? Oh, fuck you, he muttered instantly, speeding up. He had heard right. Fuck! Shota ran with his head low, like he hadn't, and fretfully re-secured his goggles. How had All Might gotten his name? How? His heart pounded with exquisite sharpness, the clearest sensation in the muggy summer night, besides the glass in his fucking boots. The pink euphoria tickled at his chest, and he promptly tried to drown it by imagining a howling bunch of pro heroes snapping a photograph of All Might plowing him on top of a dumpster. It didn't work nearly as well as he thought it would, and he hated that. He hated it so, so much. But Shota didn't have time to hate his life, because just as he was rounding a back alley corner at a dead run, there was a sudden shift in air pressure and the sound of snapping fabric, too familiar to be anything but bad. He instinctively jumped back just as All Might fucking appeared within arm's reach, all blinding blue and yellow and red and 7 feet tall. Nerves singed, Shota reacted from instinct alone and lashed out with his capture weapon in the same breath as he launched himself backwards, boots scraping harshly on the wet concrete. Don't you dare fucking! But then he hit the ground, flat on his ass, and the impact jolted his jaw shut and momentarily stunned him. He blinked up. Above him, wrapped up to his elbows in his dirty reins, All Might had his enormous hands up in the air and his palms out, surrendering. I won't touch you, he said in deep, reassuring tones, smiling like a human being instead of a billboard. Then, like it was news, I've been doing some reading. For a moment, Shota could only glare up at him. Maybe the idiot had a brain in there, somewhere, but he highly doubted All Might had touched an actual book in decades. Neither had Shota, for that matter, as he was wedded to his phone and his tablet, but it was the principle of the thing. Primarily, whatever principle allowed Shota to be as shitty as he wanted in his head. And what are these things? Very nice. The older hero's booming voice interrupted his surly thoughts, like hard sunshine, disinfecting. I didn't know what to call them in my post. I hope I didn't misunderstand their use. They have to do with your quirk, I'm assuming? Above him, All Might poked and tugged at his carbon fiber reins, best effort to squeeze and crush with a curious smile. So Shota released them with a mental twitch. The restraints immediately sloughed off the hero's muscled forearms, and All Might caught the loops in his fist and leaned forward, suddenly eager, like it was an invitation to approach and not an arbitrary release. Shoto resisted the urge to retract them back around his neck, lightning fast, and give the man a nasty bit of friction burn. Just because he wasn't an awesome person and he hadn't had an awesome day. Not to mention he was fucking dying for a cigarette, and had been since approximately a brawl and a bloody nose ago. His teeth ached from all the clenching, and with the other half of his damn circuit within arm's reach, the dust started to pull in earnest. Tempting, rationalizing. All Might was right there, a statistical anomaly in presence and perfection alike. Of all the alleyways in town, the busiest, hottest man in the world had to pick this one. Shouldn't they celebrate with a nice, sloppy kiss?
Eraserhead, am I right? I must be.
The big man crowed, clearly fucking thrilled to have him cornered and defenseless. He grinned.
Have I finally pinned you down then, Mr. Mystery Hero?
Hello? Shota said, icily, formally, at a loss. He stared up at All Might unblinkingly, hoping to somehow alpha the sunny champion of justice away with his soulless eyes. Hard to do from the floor of an alley, admittedly, but he also wasn't going to risk getting up and stumbling and having the idiot subconsciously leap on any excuse to touch him. And still, the thought pushed in as he crouched there. Did All Might really not remember the rooftop? If he did, his jauntiness was a little fucking disturbing, and not at all what Shota expected. If he didn't, it was disturbing due to the sheer split in their realities. For the first time since this hell began, he was having a little bit of trouble navigating the attention and authority that a legend of All Might's magnitude commanded, as well as the snide urge to ask, "Weren't you the one that fucked my face in Hosu a few days ago? I'm alive, by the way. No thanks to you."
"Wonderful, yes. You might be wondering how I got your name."
All Might carried on indulgently, oblivious as he bent and placed Shota's coiled capture weapon on the concrete with an obnoxious flourish of care. He nudged it over to him, then clasped his hands behind his back and winked.
"I have my sources on the street too, my friend."
Shota wanted to die, and would, most certainly, kill whoever sold him out. It could have been Hizashi, easily. He boiled at the thought, mostly because he couldn't kill Hizashi. He was too much his best friend, and it would be too much trouble at this stage in his life to find another person who put up with him quite so well. Also, he didn't have the energy to hide a body any day of the week, so he just wasn't cut out for murder in general. Some days, it felt like the only reason he didn't go into villainy, really.
Fascinating.
Shota stared at the wall, leaving his capture weapon where it lay, out of a mix of childishness and self-preservation. To keep himself sane, he counted cracks, kept a firm lid on the pink feeling which was currently bubbling up in his chest, and begging him to look at the perfect bulging thighs just 3 feet away, definitely within licking distance.
So?
The big hero said proudly, straightening and crossing his sculpted arms.
And?
Shota prompted, terse, still staring at the wall and not at those arms. All Might's posture abruptly deflated, and his gaze dropped to the floor, suddenly radiating awkwardness. The big hero twiddled his thumbs. Literally, Shota had never seen anyone actually twiddle their thumbs before, and he was decidedly not into it. Wondering what black and white cartoon the buffoon sourced his gestures from.
Oh, I wanted to say, I'm very, impressed by you. Our last few encounters, outlandish circumstances notwithstanding, got me thinking. You're an incredible hero. It's not often I get a chance to work with up-and-coming professionals like yourself, and if you're amenable, I'd like to, Eraserhead?
Any earlier thoughts about riding out the encounter firmly on his ass as some kind of base protective measure were gone. Shota was already on his feet and halfway down the alley, securing his gathered capture weapon around his neck.
Done.
This was mortifying on so many levels. He hadn't heard that All Might was sidekick shopping. Then again, with such a huge hero agency, he guessed they always needed cannon fodder. pet projects, if just for the press.
Find a sidekick somewhere else, he called over his shoulder, voice as hard as he could make it.
A very small part of Aizawa Shota, whatever echo of childhood pro-hero idolatry that had survived the natural disillusionment that came with routinely tangling with someone's surprisingly dangerous dick, was aghast at the sheer gall of what he was doing and how he was doing it, even as he knew he couldn't do anything different. He grit his teeth, hearing the echo of what he had told Hizashi.
That's not how I work.
But there was another snap of heavy fabric, and All Might swooped in front of him in the blink of an eye, blocking the alley and grinning down at him. Shota jerked back and scraped his hand on the wall, nearly tripping on his own feet.
Ah, and just how do you work?
All Might then leaned against the alley wall like he was posing for a photo shoot, sculpted chest torqued at an absolutely illegal angle that showed every muscle. He gave a lame chuckle into his hand, more showy than polite, and Shota felt himself getting slightly more annoyed than aroused, but not by much. He bit the inside of his cheek, eyeing the space under the man's arms in terms of inches and escape and probability of getting tangled in that cape, but All Might just kept talking.
Forgive me, I'm curious. I hear you're an underground hero, a view from the streets. I've never gotten to interview one of you before.
That's exactly the point, Shota muttered into his capture weapon, wondering how dumb the man could be, or how long they could keep up this stupid game of keep away before somebody broke rank and licked somebody else. Also, interview? Really? Did this man live in his own spotlight, just assuming everyone was filming him?
It seems like a very stealth-intensive job, hmm? It's clear you do your best to fit in with the criminal element.
Unversed in the social cues of the bourgeoisie, it took Shota a moment to realize All Might was schmoozing at him. The older hero was fucking schmoozing, with a hand to his clean-shaven chin, looking him over as though acutely excited by Shota's haggard appearance, the dried blood painting his upper lip, the runaway stubble on his face, the eternal bruise-like darkness beneath his eyes. After the patrol he'd had, he would not be surprised if there was a candy wrapper wedged in his hair. Honestly, and he had no time to explain why his capture weapon was currently stained with old sour coffee. But to All Might, it was clearly part of the sexy, dust-addled intrigue. The man looked like he was 3 seconds from purring at him. Such was the rakish angle of his eyebrow and grin. So Shota, panicking only slightly, swiftly opted for the gross-out approach.
Showering every day is exhausting, especially when I'm going to be in another dumpster by rush hour.
In a dumpster? All Might looked taken aback, like he'd never heard of one of those.
Thrown or hidden? Shota said with a shrug, eyes dead.
He wondered if All Might had ever been in a dumpster before, particularly on trash day when the offal had a full week to ripen and liquefy. Perfect for seeping into clothes. Sort of wished he'd taken a role in one before this little interaction. Staring the veteran hero down, Eraserhead arched a brow, dismissive.
Like I said, I'm not your kind of sidekick, All Might-sama.
He bit the honorific, childish, but the man's grin returned with a vengeance. Like the idiot just smiled every time someone said his fucking name.
I'm positive we can make it work. Strength comes from diversity, and true heroism doesn't have a sense of smell, just a sense of justice.
All Might said with a booming laugh, and Shota just stared up at him. He'd already called him an idiot the first time they met, and now, instead of daring, it just seemed redundant and not worth his time. So he walked.
Wait.
Can you take a fucking hint? He snapped, finally irritated enough to show it. A few paces behind him, All Might stopped in his tracks with a stunned expression, hand outstretched. Probably no one had ever turned him down before, much less with that tone. Shota glanced around, double-checking to see if they had an audience, then glared up at the primary colored monolith. He intended to finally lay things down in explicit terms, so there were no more misunderstandings. And no more handprint-shaped bruises, thank you. Lay off. I don't want to be your sidekick or anything else. And stop posting bullshit on the message boards. It's going to end badly for both of us. Almite looked startled that he actually knew about the message boards, or checked that particular one, or even knew someone who had access to the internet after learning that Shota spent a notable part of his time in dumpsters. Shota rolled his eyes, wishing his stupid best friend wasn't such a Hero Talk fanboy, and also maybe wasn't his best friend.
I didn't... All Might began, horribly hesitant.
The young pro put up his hand, took a deep, grounding breath, and lowered his voice as much as possible, glaring at the sidewalk. This is artificial, Shota said, willing that simple fact through the hot pink haze in the other man's brain by sheer terseness of tone. An emotional byproduct of the dust. You don't really want to work with me or even be around me. In 3 weeks, you won't even remember any of this. You'll be grateful for it. At least All Might had the privilege of being able to forget someone like him. Now, every time Shota went into a grocery store and saw the kids' cereal aisle, he was all kinds of distracted, not to mention deeply uncomfortable. It was the kids' cereal aisle, for God's sakes. If there was a more problematic place to get a spontaneous erection, he didn't know it.
I won't remember? Ha! I deeply doubt I won't remember you. Or, that.
All Might eked out, his expression crushingly earnest. He chuckled, then coughed.
Not unless Mandrake happened to bring out his brain drain, that is.
Shota could only fix the older hero with the hottest, most piercing death glare he was capable of. All Might, symbol of peace, was so fucking loud and so fucking boisterous that Shota's mind could hardly comprehend how annoyed he was. But then the asshole in question leaned too close and winked like the two of them were sharing a cute secret.
Ah. But I understand. No more message boards. I'm not all that hip on that sort of thing anyway. You wouldn't believe how long it took me to... Anyway, I won't ask around for you now that we've finally met. Well spoken. You know, it's something I've really been looking forward to.
Shota blinked up at him, pathetically withering where he stood. It was excruciatingly clear that All Might had completely misunderstood his very direct commands. And, faced with the man's relentless, world-famous enthusiasm, Shota didn't even have the slightest idea on how to change that, or the energy to try. Above him, All Might bowled onwardly gracious, the picture of professional understanding.
And of course I can see how that would compromise your low profile, and how the exposure of a sidekick position runs contrary to the solitary nature of your work. That gang business was probably a bit crowded for you. I'm grateful you found the time to come out and help. It was a nasty situation.
It clearly wasn't, and Shota acutely resented the addled idiot for implying anything else. It was a fucking brawl, drunk and stupid and entirely undeserving of anyone's time, and he only got involved because someone punched him in the face on the way to get cigarettes. And that's what kind of hero he was, apparently. Definitely not a caliber suited to stand next to the symbol of peace. Any way you sliced it. It was a distant, nasty thought, but a true one. Shota was, above all things, honest with himself. Before he could move to leave again, All Might straightened and busily dug in one of the pouches at his utility belt.
Do you want your, key cover, at least? I assume you don't want to jingle too loudly, with your niche being stealth and all.
The greatest hero in the world then stood there, dangling his wayward kitty key cover from two fingers, and to Shota's shame, he actually thought about it. He liked that key cover. It seemed like every other cat key cover in the world was a happy one. This one was grumpy. But in the end, whether it was because he didn't want to risk touching the man's skin during the handoff, or he didn't want to indulge his superpowered stalker in any way, Shota just opted out. He walked away, and as he did so, he mentally patted himself on the back for his very mature decision. He was a super in-control, independent, mildly jingly adult without a key cover, and he was proud of that fact.
Okay, right. Then, I look forward to working with you in the future, Eraserhead. You're still welcome around the agency anytime. Just come straight to the 30th floor.
came the shout behind him, and Chota flinched, snarling and rolling his eyes to the world at large as he hauled down the darkest, smallest alley he could find. What part of secrecy didn't the man understand? Asshole. Fucking wholesome, invasively interested asshole. Never again. Which meant, of course, again. Fuck. Half an hour and a train ride later, Shoto was back at his shitty complex and stalking through the dark, silent hallway to his room, only grateful that he had run into his biggest problem at the very end of his tour. It was already 4 a.m., and he only had the energy for one more thing that night, and it wasn't more punching. Although his impulses were becoming rather mixed where All Might was concerned. Shota shouldered his door open with a grunt, a bread packet pinched in his teeth, and already furiously stripping. He kicked it shut behind him, pried off his boots, and lobbed his goggles at the nearest pile of dirty clothes, following it with his makeshift dinner. Inside the clang of his jumpsuit, his bruised, strung-out body was slathered in a sweat more insidious than simple summer heat. His pink, electrified mind pulled again and again back to sculpted arms and strong jawlines and big, rough hands, and Chota absolutely boiled under the chemical imposition. How could he be having such a strong reaction when he hadn't so much as breathed All Might's air? They must have upped the recipe on the dust. Fuckers. Either that, or it had been too long since his last dusting and he'd just forgotten how consuming it was. At least he was home to deal with it. Not that it would be the worst thing he'd done behind a dumpster. Probably. So Shota cleared his messy futon with a kick of his bare feet and flopped down, struggling out of his brand new fucking jumpsuit, dick already hard, in order to jack off to the man who'd ruined his last one. The waxy fabric stuck to his pale, bruise-mottled skin as he shoved it down his hips, grunting in irritation and trying not to strip his dick on the zipper. Finally, he groaned in relief as he palmed himself, shivering as an answering jolt of electricity split his gut. He had no illusions about half-assing it. The very special combination of his exhaustion and frustration found Shota digging in his boxes and unearthing a hooked vibrator he hadn't looked at in weeks, if not since he got his hero license. One-handed, he flipped it on. Nothing. And shook it until, a miracle, the battery caught and it activated with a tiny buzz, jumping. It was one good thing he could put on his list today. It was a cheap, miserable thing. As much of a lifestyle substitute as the jelly energy packets he mainlined in place of actual food. But he would consider its duty well and truly done if it managed to chase a certain famous hero out of his mind and body for the night. Shota flipped the vibe off and quickly sucked the length of it, in no mood for lube cleanup, but mostly trying not to imagine his mouth on All Might's massive cock again. Quickly turned into not so quickly. Pausing, settling back on his poor excuse for a pillow. He maybe squeezed his dick and let the toy just push heavy on his tongue for a second. Then he pushed harder, tensing down to his toes, with his heart already thumping against his bruised ribs. Shota mentally rolled his eyes. He didn't know why he bothered trying. Exhaling carefully, he gave up and tilted his head back, stroking rhythmically at his straining cock with a fucking dildo wedged a little too forcefully in his mouth, because he was a quality person with quality tastes and also flawless self-control. He would be lying if he said he didn't want to do that again with All Might, as long as he wasn't sucking for his fucking life, imagining those big hands gripping his hair as leverage to fuck and fill his open mouth, his gut liquidated, honeyed, that growl, that absolutely tangible violence of a need to come, and hard, radiating from All Might's muscled body as pure heat. Also, shockingly, the fantasy of getting on top of the man and getting off in a way that didn't leave him with 1,000 bruises and regrets. Even for a guy who liked to hurt, Shota was getting pretty fucking tired of it. Shota pulled the slippery vibe out and spat into his hand, biting his lip as the hot glide of his palm over the head of his cock briefly shook his sore legs. He immediately wriggled his jumpsuit down far enough to slide the toy between his legs and up into his ass. His head fell back in vicious relief as he pushed inward, stretching and rocking his hips onto the solid, slick pressure and the farce of being fucked. As much as he might try to deny it, he was a very gay man with very base needs. He generally wanted nothing more than for All Might to fuck him, as did most of the dick-loving populace of Japan. So it wasn't the first time he imagined the older hero kneeling between his cockeyed legs, naked and perfect. Practically fantasy stock photography. It was a step further to have All Might's warm, hard hands engulfing his legs to spread them just a little more, forcing his enormous cock into his ass and deeper with every push. So for a moment, Shota just pushed, hoping to make up for the sheer girth difference by force as he grit his teeth and pumped hurriedly at his aching cock. He bent his own legs back like those hands were pushing him wider, allowing himself short, needy moans as he muttered anything that came to mind, anything he wasn't allowed to say. Fuck me, you bastard, just fucking do it. I know you want to. And imagined All Might's tanned skin slapping against his as he fucked him into the futon with a hard grin. But for all his practice and imagination, Shota hit a wall. The angle wasn't right, or maybe the angle was just right to recall the exact look on All Might's actual face above him a few days ago on the rooftop, anguished and half hidden by the clutch of his hand. So he changed. Shota rolled and fumbled onto his knees, panting, barely able to take his hand off his throbbing cock. Cheek on the futon, he reached back and flipped the vibe on, quickly nosing the tip of the toy around his ass and shuddering at the delicious ripple of feeling that chased goosebumps down his legs and up his naked back. Shoving the toy deep again was an entirely different experience. The vibration hardened, sharpened with the pressure, and Shota didn't even have to search for the angle that made his eyes cross. Or maybe his entire self was that spot. He was so stupidly turned on, just from breathing the man's air. Frustration and helplessness surged in the vortex of his gut, mixed with a pink chemical want so desperate it wouldn't let him breathe until he came. Shota bucked with a muffled groan, forcing himself back on track. With his jumpsuit still tangled in his legs, trying to spread them felt kind of like restraint, which felt good. All Might grabbing his hips and just fucking him, like this, from behind. No words, just the punishing slap of skin, just need and those needs being met. That was good. Shota shoved and pressed, legs shaking violently as he blasted that sweet spot with everything, hissing and whimpering into his bed. His hand was frozen on his dick for the intensity of the toy, clenched in his sticky ass, fingers going horribly, sharply numb from the assault of the vibration, but utterly unable to remove the pressure from that building pleasure. But then he rolled his hips, and imagining All Might crushed against his back with a savage growl, hand in his hair and cock forcing his ass too wide, Shota came with a choking sound. His torso flexed like a rubber band pulled too far, and his hand tightened punishingly on his dick as he spurted once and then again, immediately collapsing, covered in a heavy sweat, which only then stood cold on his skin. Shaking at every joint, head spinning, Shota rolled over, angrily shutting off the vibrator and discarding it in a stray towel. For a moment, it was all he could do to lay there and endure the hammering of his heart and pant to himself in the dark. Alone. Acutely. Shota closed his eyes tightly, glow fading into bitter disappointment. With every breath. It wasn't so much shame at such an indecent display, but maybe just an awareness that the last time he'd had sex was in the old place, with some other hero, just drunk enough not to care that Hisashi and Namori were chortling about them in the main room. That gap cut, prickled, annoyed. It also yawned wider every fucking month as he retreated further and further into the night hours to try to make things work, cutting himself off from every sane and single person in the process. He wasn't a social butterfly anyway. but the math just didn't work. He didn't have the time or energy to touch people except to bring them to justice at high velocities, apparently. Shota had always known it, and was technically more than willing to commit to such a life if it meant a working career as a hero. But it was another thing to feel it in that moment, half naked and dirty and incredibly hungry in a multitude of ways, and mechanically stretching out his stinging wrist from fucking himself a little too hard. Scraped raw and stretched thin, and with no improvement in sight. And that nasty clarity made him wonder, briefly, what All Might would actually be like after a roll. Skin soft with fresh sweat, and smiling, but not that stupid grin. Lips against his neck, maybe, fingers in his hair, and deep, even breaths. Safe. Normal, maybe. Snorting, Shota kicked his jumpsuit off the rest of the way and curled around his ratty blankets, aching from any number of things. He didn't have time to be lonely. Neither, he reasoned, did All Might. And he really, actually didn't want to spend another dickless moment with the man. Honestly. It was just the dust talking, after all. It was quiet at the top of the agency. It was always quiet up there, because it was just him. Most nights, he had to try not to echo. Yagi Toshinori lay in bed and stared blankly at the ceiling, having learned long ago that there were no winding flourishes to trace in the staunchly minimalist granite-heavy decor of the building he'd chosen for his agency. Though the aesthetic was quite a statement, and not to his tastes, he had mostly selected it for the central location. As fast as he was, a handful of seconds could make the difference between death and survival, and that thin line was what drove him daily. Nightly, more recently. Even though he had lived there for several years now, up on the 30th floor in a suite far too large for one person, it still held the starched air of a hotel room. A very nice room, but a borrowed space nonetheless. He liked it well enough. The main problem was how empty it was. Little more than a marble canvas for slanted squares of moonlight, which would explain why he couldn't draw breath but to think about a particular young hero, Eraserhead. The veteran hero's neck and chest warmed fiercely at the name, the sense memory of the man's face as though he weren't already covered in a persistent sweat. He had run into Eraserhead again just hours ago. Out of all the alleys in Tokyo, they had found each other again, and some part of him thrilled at the thought. But for once, All Might didn't give in to that instant, heady excitement. Wrangling his self-discipline, he frowned and thought, remembered, dissected. For all the effort that was necessary to extract words and information from his memories, which were already narrowing and clouding over into little more than adoring portraits of the young and unknown man. Very young. Very unknown. Very attractive, despite all that. And so the veteran hero had to think maybe he was addled. His lack of information was staggering, and All Might had only found Eraserhead's hero name through an anonymous tip that very morning. Which was good, because as the hours stretched on without an answer, he had come very close to offering a cash reward for anyone who could identify the man, which was perhaps another indication he wasn't quite thinking clearly. Shifting uncomfortably in his bed, sheets sticking to his broad, bare chest, All Might went over what he probably knew. Eraserhead was a young pro who presumably liked cats, or at least kitty keychains, and reviled any form of media attention. He valued anonymity above all else. He was incredibly quick on his feet, with a useful levitation quirk of some kind, which he would likely never divulge through sheer difficulty of nature, which was charming in its own right, as All Might never turned away from a challenge, particularly a beautiful one. He was curt and shaved infrequently, and spent a questionable amount of time in dumpsters during his work, and that was it. That, he thought, and the purely heavenly scrub of his stubble and the lithe length of his torso, hidden in the black jumpsuit,
The skillful slide of his hands on... All Might cleared his throat and flicked at his hot ears, clearly pinpointing where his mind had jumped tracks and given in to that feeling that could only be described as... pink. The same feeling had hounded him all throughout their exchange that night, offering silly reasons why he should close the distance between them and find an excuse to touch, hold, or even pin the young hero down and see what would happen next. He simply hadn't, suitably wary of their situation, and startled in part by the brash specificity of the urges. And so they parted without any sort of episode. It was good that he could remain objective if they didn't touch, but the knowledge utterly failed to address how much Toshinori wanted to touch. Badly. Very badly. The world's greatest hero sighed deeply, running a hand through his damp hair and clenching, as if it would bring the fevered noise of his body down a level. Night Eye was right. It wasn't like him to be so absorbed. But the nearly obscene clarity of it all was part of the lure. To feel something simply, strongly, so much that other concerns just dissolved. It was easy to fall into the feeling, to be consumed, when he normally wouldn't spare any part of himself. He had to admit it. Some part of this was the drug, and the effect was multiplied by physical closeness. It was the only thing that made sense. He could keep his head when the young man wasn't right in front of him, at least. He would have to gather some questions to ask Eraserhead about this awful dust stuff the next time they met. A good plan. And maybe next time, Eraserhead would tell him his real name, and they could go from there. All Might lay back in the dark, not knowing exactly what to feel, but entirely convinced he wasn't going to be able to sleep, with the souvenir his nocturnal jaunt had left him. The big hero exhaled carefully, reaching down to run his fingers over the hard length of his cock and his briefs, the simple grate of the cotton and the pressure sending a jolt of want through his body. No sense denying it. Although he wasn't using his quirk, it took him no more than a second to strip and settle back into his damp sheets, already sliding his fingers over the glut of precum swelling on the head of his cock and working it down the shaft. He was practical about bodily needs, no matter if he so rarely shared them with anyone. No sense in regretting it. He thought about Eraserhead. There was no point in thinking about anything else, really. But the kinds of things All Might, Toshinori, thought about possibly weren't expected of a man who was so hungrily pulling at his cock, brow creased and shining with sweat. Because, above all, Yagi Toshinori fantasized about normalcy. So he imagined the man's chin in his big hand, a trusting weight, his dark eyes fearless, naked, intertwined on his bed on the 30th floor. Toshinori imagined tilting and opening his neck to kiss the pale skin deeply, teasing with his teeth and the time and trust to do so. Imagined kissing him into the bed and the noises as he gently, gently held him down and pleasured him any way at all. A steamy, painfully aroused blur, Toshinori's mind flinched from act to act, fingers or tongue, too inexperienced in a male body for any prolonged fantasy. The way the young hero arched under him, however, those dark eyes hazy with unthinking want, as Eraserhead whispered please and encouragement, that was the thing that hardened his cock impossibly, aching in his grip. Another long drip of precum quickening his hand, arousal tearing along his tanned skin, mouth dry. There were no words to encapsulate everything he wanted to give this young man he knew absolutely nothing about, and the thought was as thrilling as it was terrifying. So Toshinori bore down with the vice of his hand and panted, hips twitching up. It was too easy to see the young hero's body knotted on his lap, his clever hands grasping at his huge arms and shoulders as Toshinori pushed his cock in inch by inch, slick enough that his ass parted effortlessly. Awash in pleasure and safely held, Eraserhead would shudder and sigh, and maybe his name would find its way into the high, hectic panting of giving over to it all. All Might could almost feel the scrub of stubble at his cheek, the arms locked around his neck, the eager breaths, the way the young man might whine and try to push down too soon, too tight for it, but desperate for the friction. He knew what he would do. He would wrap his hands around those lithely muscled thighs, guiding. But the idea of the other hero begging for it, to continue or go faster or just let him know he wasn't hurting, he wasn't in pain, was almost too much for him. All Might stroked himself faster, one hand over his face, breath coming in short and shallow bursts as he forced his slippery fist down again and again, and his cock throbbed brutally against his palm. He was close, too close and too soon, but he made no effort to stop the rush of it or push away the lusty pink edge, soaking through every fiber of his muscled, shaking form. In the end, it was a simple fantasy of closeness. All Toshinori had to do was picture laying Eraserhead down and firmly fucking him into the bed, his legs hooked over the small of his back. That was all. The two of them, a tangle of wants with the young man moaning blissfully into his mouth, between hot slips of tongue, was enough to bring him the rest of the way. He came and immediately tried to bite it down, make it last, but the firm hand to the base of his cock just made him writhe in a last-minute pinch of pleasure as he spilled over his own chest in a hot gush of cum, grunting airlessly and throwing his head back. It was a pleasure so intense it was a kind of violence. And then it was over. For a moment, All Might just lay flat and breathed deeply, mind still half-trapped in the fantasy, and ears ringing from the force of the release. A wild one and a new standard, he marveled, following the hot drip of his own cum down his heaving stomach and sides. Unbidden but inevitable came the thought. What would it take to make his bed inviting for a man who seemed to scorn all invitation? How good would it feel to hold him in the aftermath of this kind of release? His bed finally not silent, but quiet, with their bodies cupped and cooling. Simple closeness. Eraserhead's dark hair splayed on the pillow, and one hand sleepily tangled in his. Safe. Usually he could have gone on forever, but everything was still too raw after an orgasm of that magnitude, and the thoughts began to sting. All Might realized he was still gripping himself and let go, fingers somehow aching. Then looked down. He groaned quietly, disappointed, as if he hadn't already felt the cum quickly cooling against his chest, or he wasn't entirely used to this level of cleanup. He sighed, kicking the sheets off and onto the floor. Resigned. Abruptly exhausted, the big hero rose as carefully as he could and headed for the shower, head hanging, and tried not to listen for the soft slapping sound of his bare feet on the tile, echoing. Maybe he would push back his patrol again tomorrow, just in case.